There are in these readings several disparate ideas, but we're going to try to pull them together and see how they really do connect with one another. The first thing is that Jesus is telling growth parables. The teaching of the parables has to do with growth. And growth is usually subtle and gradual. So when you put leaven into a mass of dough, you can't just stand there and watch it grow. You have to go away for hours, and then you come back and it's bigger. You can't see it. The mustard seed starts out as a small seed, and yes, it grows into a large bush, but it takes years to do that. And so you have to have patience for it. God is the patient one. Nobody has any clue how patient God is. But let me just tell you a story. Two men are in a natural history museum, and they're looking at a reconstruction of a dinosaur. And one says to the other, "So how long were the dinosaurs on the earth?" The other guy says, "I don't know, a couple million years." "Wow. What were they doing all that time?" "Eating grass." "So what was God doing all that time?" "Watching the dinosaurs eat grass." God is infinite. And we think if the earth is, you know, 10 or 12 billion years old, the universe, well, that's just a speck compared to the infinity of God. And God begins creation, and he invents time so that it can unfold gradually, and he loves it through all those billions of years. And he never turns away from it, and he never gives up on it. He is patient with the gradualness of growth. And if God can be that patient with the universe, then he certainly can be patient with us who only live 70 or 80 years. This is nothing in the eyes of God. But for us who are kind of locked in time, we can get these things built up out of proportion, and, "Oh, the weeds are so terrible, I don't know what I'm going to do, woe is me, I can't seem to get anywhere, I'm spinning my wheels and I'm not growing, I'm imperfect, I'm still a sinner, I should be over this, I should be moved on, blah, blah, blah." And Jesus tells these growth parables partly to remind us, have the patience, participate in the patience of God. Not only with yourself, but with others as well. And so the weeds in the wheat, on one hand, they're me. You know, I have my own weeds, I have my own temptations, my struggles, my consort with the devil that I can't seem to get over. But then there are these other weeds that are the other people who are tempting me, who are bothering me, who are causing influence on my children, you know. It's like, wouldn't it be great if all the drugs, if all the opioids, if all the bad teachers, if all the people who are giving bad influence to me and my family, if they were all moved to Salina so that Manhattan would be weed-free, okay? Wouldn't that be cool? And Jesus is gently chiding us and saying, get over yourselves. It's okay to have some weeds. Trust. You know, what we Christians are really about is trust and hope. Trusting that the Word of God is taking roots in our heart even when we don't see it. Trust that our participation in the liturgy week after week and our eating and drinking of God week after week is working its miracle of grace in us even though it's hard for us to see it. It's all about trust. Trust in grace that God is active in us even when we are unable to perceive it. That second reading from Paul's letter to the Romans is a continuation of this same letter from last week. And remember, last week He was saying that all creation is groaning in agony, in labor pains. And we, who are created in God's image and likeness, we humans, we are the voice of that groaning. We give voice to the praise of creation, and we give voice to the agony of creation, because we don't call them growing pains for nothing, because there's always pain and death involved in growth. The only way to grow is to die to what was. I have to die to what was yesterday so that I can embrace what's today. I have to be willing to step out into that uncomfortable area where I don't know what I'm doing, I don't have all the answers, it's a little risky, it's a little scary, but I'm willing to step out there because that's the only way to grow. And each of us can think back over some particular thing in our lives. Quite often it was some outside force that forced us to change, forced us to grow, to step outside our comfort zone and accept new possibilities. And as we look back on that, we're so grateful that that happened to us. Oh yeah, it was painful then, but where would I be if that hadn't happened to me? But we can also intend those things. We can say in our prayer, God, give me the courage to step out in faith. Give me the courage to risk so that I can grow. Because Jesus shows us in human form the divine way of growing by dying. Born in our human condition, taking on our sin when he didn't have to, taking on all the uncomfortableness of human existence, And liberating us in doing so. And the end of the story, temporarily, is the cross. Where does all that get him? A horrible, agonizing death, followed by the resurrection. And that's the pattern of the Paschal Mystery. It's the pattern of our lives as well as the life of Jesus. You can't grow until you're willing to die. You can't get to the altar, which is the heavenly banquet, the meal of the kingdom, without going through the sacrificial dying of the font. It's just the way life is. And rather than hate that or resent that or worry about it, Jesus is saying, trust death. Trust dying. Because you believe in resurrection. Because you believe there's a rising beyond each death. And then finally, in that reading today, Paul is continuing to talk about that groaning of creation in labor pains, in the pain of growth and transformation. And he says, we have the Spirit dwelling in our hearts. And so even though we don't know how to pray as we ought, we don't know the right things to ask for. In fact, half the time we're asking for the wrong things. But the Spirit is there groaning, but with a productive groaning, translating our prayers into what we really need to be asking for. We don't have to obsess about whether we're praying rightly or not. Just pray. And the Spirit will do the translating. The Spirit will turn it into the right prayer for what we really need. And what we really need is salvation. What we really need is the transformation into divine life, which is our calling, which is our destiny, which is what it means to be fully human. To be fully human means to share in divine life. And if that causes pain to get there, if there's some dying before we get to the resurrection, just relax and trust that God is leading us to a homeland. God is leading us through the wilderness that we call this earth and this life, and walking that journey with us all the way, and comforting us and filling us with hope, so that we can trust this sometimes painful, sometimes risky and scary journey we can trust in that pilgrimage, that journey to our heavenly homeland.